Boom. Hey, what up, folks? New episode. Hey, coming up. This episode's with Tony Frederick. Yes. Good old Tony, man. We had a good time talking. Sitting outside in his backyard, fucking with his projector screening on his wall. It was a fun time. I guess this just an announcement before. Things might change up a little bit just because, nigga, working nights and shit, and this is my only off day. So I might have to switch things up to from Tuesday to like Wednesday or something like that. Who knows? Who cares? I don't even need to explain this, but it's happening. Y'all just be on the lookout. I'm going to try to be diligent with this, but I would like to get my sleep in. So, you know, man, y'all sit back, enjoy this podcast that I had with Tony Frederick, and catch y'all next week.
What's up? I guess this will work.
We'll see how this sounds later. It don't
matter. So what we doing? What's going on? Oh, man, this is, what's up? This is Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing the dream. I've been your host. I'm usually the host of, I'm always the host, Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. And today we have the one, the only fucking... We call Corey our uncle. You'd be the daddy of us all out here, because you have basically got to where we are all trying to get. God damn it, Tony Frederick. How's it going, Tony?
I'm good, man. So what, I'm like the grand uncle.
Yeah, you the OG, my nigga. You the triple OG, man. You got the more O's you got, the more respect you get.
I'm glad
you know?
Y'all think so. Hold up, now. I got enough child support as it is. I don't need more motherfucking coming. I'm hungry.
Yes, indeed, man. It's been like ever since I've started comedy out here, like you were the other, one of the other people to actually like look up to. It's like, oh, that's what we're trying to get. We're trying to get to that era to where we're like, oh, we can transition from comedy into acting. Just doing whatever, and you just mentioned that, like, because you Creole, so you fit the part of lots of demographics out there, and it's like you're what they got you want, what they want you to do is a Palestinian, is that? Is
yeah,
that?
Bro, I can play all that shit, my friend, my friend. What I got for you today, my friend, you want number two special? So it's like. Yeah, I walk into the room, they're like, what the fuck? We don't know what to do with him, but we want to do everything. Like you white, you black, you Hispanic, you Arab, you Spanish, you Mexican, French, you whatever, what the fuck are you? Like, so I'm like, hey, man, whatever you want me to be. I can cut my hair, I can comb this bitch forward, I can shave, I can grow a beard, I can... You know?
It doesn't matter. As long as you get the job, you're all right with it.
See, I tell them, I said, look, they said, what are you? I said, what you looking for?
Right.
I'm an actor. I can be what you looking for. Tell me what you want.
That's that New Orleans hustle mentality right there. I got you. What you need, you know? Yeah. How long you been in the game of comedy or in the game of just entertainment itself?
Entertainment, man. Shit, I've been entertaining motherfuckers since fourth grade. I've been telling jokes. I was doing Spot Your Mama jokes and shit. Yeah.
Spot
Your Mama in the tree, getting booty with Mr. T. Spot your mom in the street wiping her booty with lunch and meat. We were doing that shit before. We were ripping bitches in fourth grade. They call it, what they call that shit now?
Jonin.
What they call that shit now? They get something else they call it.
Capping.
Capping. No. It's roasting.
Roasting. Oh, yeah, yeah. Roasting is a thing.
We call it, we pull the rib out your body. That's how hurt you feel. You call it like a rib was removed from your body after we finished ripping your fucking head.
Yeah.
So, like, all right, comedy, bro, 12 years.
12
years. Acting. Whew. Bruh. I'm going to say about 26.
Jesus.
26 years.
That's older than some of these newcomers out here. God
damn.
Yeah,
man. Been again a long time to say. A lot of motherfuckers don't know my name. I got about 61 credits on IMDb.
God.
I got more because some ain't land that. You know, it's like doing some guerrilla filmmaking, you know what I'm saying? Right. Some shit. You ain't got no permits. Everybody jump out the van, film that bitch like both fingers. Remember both fingers?
Yes. Yeah. I've had some bouts with the little guerrilla filmmaking. Well, just guerrilla picture taking itself, because around here it's get it how you live, and wherever you go, if you ain't got a permit, it's like, fuck it, let's just hurry up and shoot it.
Yeah, shoot
it. Let's just hurry up and shoot the shit. Man, so is that what you've always wanted to start off doing as becoming an actor? Or is like,
if I tell you what I really wanted to do, you'd be like,
see, that's the thing, though. That's what I ask people usually off bat, just because right. I'm like, what did you want to be at first? Is this what you really wanted to do?
So at first, I wanted to be a physicist.
Oh, okay.
I used to watch MacGyver, bro.
Yeah.
Like MacGyver, Quantum Leap.
That's my shit,
bro. Come like on. The universe, science. Yeah. I was in school, bro. I was like a fucking real nerd.
Yeah.
But I was the one motherfucker that, like, I'd rib you, I'd fight, and then I'd make an end on the test. I was an anomaly. I was like a motherfucker. Yeah. Like, I can't figure this dude out. Like, this bitch smart. He an athlete. He fight. Wait, what the fuck, bro? You got to pick one, motherfucker. You can't do all this shit.
Yeah,
I used to score high in science. Remember the ASVAB test?
Yeah.
So, for the military,
yeah, that's
military.
What I call it. Yeah,
that
they was.
Like,
that's
what
they was. That's the same as
second grade. Like, we need you. I'm like, man, fuck y'all.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to be a part of that.
I used to hear them horror stories about people getting fucked over and shit, man. Injured, and they forgot about them. So, I'm like, nah, military out.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. I was always ADD. I'm not going to say ADHD because that term didn't even exist when I got diagnosed with this shit.
Right.
Not. So, algebra kept me away from something. Show the work.
Right.
Half your grade comes from showing the actual work on paper. Well, I would look at it, do it in my head, and just write the answer. And
right.
The teacher would be like, you copied that. And I'm like, no, I got the answer. She said, what it work? Did it in my head. She said, why you didn't write it down? I said, listen, my brain works faster than my hand. That's why my handwriting bad. I can't process it. My brain works 3 times faster than my hand can do it.
Yeah.
So I can't show you the work, but I tell you what, give me an oral test, I tell you the answer. They didn't want to hear that shit. They had them old motherfucking nuns and shit in Catholic school. And these some old motherfuckers, but they didn't know anything about education, how people learn different. You know, if people auditory, if they're visual and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was so hyper and, like, I processed that shit so fast, no one understood, like, me.
Yeah.
Person. So I just, like, fuck it. I just gave up. I ain't had no mentors. I ain't had nobody, like, to help me, show me. Nothing. I'm like, well, fuck it. I ain't going to be a physicist. I can't do the work, right? So, fuck science. I still love science to this day.
Yeah.
I said, well, fuck it. I just be an architect.
Uh-huh.
So, I started doing drafting classes in high school when AutoCAD first came out, probably like 89, 90.
Yeah.
There was a program called AutoCAD. They still use this bitch to this data design building.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a program. Back then, in like 90, bro, this program cost like 10 G's.
Ooh.
Just for the program. They had a crazy little mouse with like blue, yellow, green, and red buttons on it with crosshairs on it. And you could like, I did the Leaning Tower of Pisa in the class. Matter of fact, my high school didn't even have it, bro. This how fucked up New Orleans is. And great at the same time. I went to Catholic school in high school.
Yeah.
We paid tuition. We paid money to go to that bitch.
Right.
My school didn't offer this class. We had to bus us in the morning to Kennedy, which is a public school. Mm. Ain't even there no more. Just to take this class because it was funded at Kennedy.
Damn.
And there's like a bunch of us. Like, it was called the Magnet Consortium Program. If you ask me what the fuck that means, I never found out what it meant. I just knew it was a weird name.
Just give it a big
Magnet
title.
Magnet Consortium,
yeah.
So they had like 10 of us.
The extra money.
Right. Some went for advanced calculus. Some went for whatever. I went for advanced draft. Bro, if I'd have stuck with that shit, yo, man, I'd be a fucking architect right now. Bro.
Yeah.
And it was like, when I got to college, you know, I wanted to run track because I was a jock. I ran track at UNO. And I was like a theater business major, some bullshit. Then I ended up dropping out. Bro, I wanted to be a fucking architect and a physicist. Like, I wanted to be that. And if you look at me, and you'd be like, this is the last motherfucker I see.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect it. You definitely wouldn't expect it at all.
That's my interest, though. But comedy, bro, was always, like, just second nature. Like, that was my upbringing. Like, my pa was one of the funniest motherfuckers I ever met.
Yeah.
My pa, bro, like, he raced cars and built race cars and shit.
Really?
Yeah, we'd be in golf. He still got ready. He got dragsters and shit right now. We'd be in Gulfport, and, like, I remember we was in this tent, and, like, the little tents and shit out there you had, we racing cars. And somebody was talking shit, got on his nerves, and he was just like, boy, shut up before I punch in the mouth, ruin your sex life. And I was probably like,
ruin
hey,
your sex life?
Yeah, I'm punching your mouth and ruin your sex life. Bruh, I was like,
hey. That's some shit to tell somebody.
That's some shit, right? That's like saying, bitch, I know how you make your living. You either suck a dick or eat your pussy. Yeah. Or both. Motherfucker. So that's where Marfordice came from. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
That's a New Orleans thing.
Yeah.
Bruh, but it's like, I'm sitting there like, yo, I processed that shit. I knew what it meant at 8. And I thought that was the funniest shit I had ever heard, bro. I couldn't stop fucking laughing.
Yeah.
I was just, he's like, what's wrong with you? Because he was like arguing with the dude and like, you know, he's like, what's wrong with you? What you laughing and shit? I said, that was funny what you said. He's like, what? That is funny. Like, he ain't paying no mind.
Really,
you know?
Yeah,
that's just who he was. Yeah. That's how he told me. He didn't think he was being funny. And I was like, yo, man. So, like, when I was doing comedy, one night he sat in. And I went to talking about him, like, yo, growing up with this motherfucker right here, this is how I got to be my mentality the way I am now. And he was sitting there, like, he was looking like, oh, man, I'm so ashamed. Like, what did I do?
I tormented my child.
Oh, man. But like, you know, you a product of your environment. So,
right.
Being around, like, him, my uncle, motherfucker in the neighborhood, just growing up in general, and the Southern world is like, motherfucker, you better know how to tell some. You better know how to make motherfucker laugh and tell some jokes. And, like, that was your, like, bro, we ain't had no pickup lines.
No.
Like, if you meet a chick, it wasn't like you kind of be smooth and you make a motherfucker laugh.
Yeah.
Like, tell that girl something funny.
Uh-huh.
And guarantee you ain't gotta have no fucking game.
No.
Just be funny, man. Like, just be real.
That was one of the things that Tiffany Haddish told me. She was like, "Yeah, if you can, as long as you can make her laugh, you got her. As long as her pussy get wet just a little bit, she gonna piss herself if you make her laugh. And boom, you got her after that." I was like, oh, "Okay.
Don't talk too much. Don't talk yourself out the pussy. You know what I'm saying? My mother get a big head. Oh, I'm here to laugh and keep going, man.
Like, no one to slow it down. No one to pump the brakes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed." Yeah, well, so, like, so comedy came in after acting, though. Like, what made comedy come around since you was acting?
Bro, the thing about it was I always wanted to be a comedian.
Mm.
I was, like, 10 years old, man, 12 years old. My mom and dad used to go out. Mm-hmm. And it's back when you used to dress up to go out. Like,
yeah.
80, you know, they put on a fucking dress. He had on a fucking 3-piece suit with an ankle holster with the 38 and the fucking ankle holster. That's how they went out.
Goddamn,
you know? I'm watching him get dressed. I didn't know if he was undercover or he was going to rob a motherfucker or he was a well-dressed criminal. Like, dressed, right? So I'm watching him get dressed. Boom, when he go out. I'm at home with my grandma. I'm watching Evening at the Improv. Right? Brick wall.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And just watching that shit. I'm watching it like as a kid. I had Richard. Everybody had this. This is the old story. Every comedian got this story. They had Richard Pryor out.
Right.
They stole their mama's shit or their daddy's shit. They listened to it when they went home.
Yeah.
That's real. Had Red Fox shit. Right. Had LaWanda Page shit. Her albums. Man, like, I don't know. My parents must have been into that shit because it was called Party Records.
Mm-hmm.
You dig? They would play this shit at like house parties.
Right.
Instead of like music, they would just play like the comedy.
Yeah.
So they had a big collection of all that shit. So I always admired comedy, bro. But the thing about it was, like, you know, I owned a nightclub for about 10 years.
I what?
From like 96 to 2005.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I was a nightclub owner.
Huh.
Why? How you think I got this shit?
Comedy?
Yeah. Nigga,
I thought acting. I never knew.
Nah, bro. I owned a nightclub. I owned a club in New Orleans East, bro. Like, I was owned, like, one of no partners just fucking me running nightclubs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got a mind for business, too. You fucking figure. But the thing about it is, bro, is like, I'm sitting there watching that shit, and I'm listening to the albums and all that. Then I had the club, and like Def Comedy Jam had a thing here, so Def Comedy Jam would come here and do it, perform at the Sanger.
Yeah.
So they would hit up all the little nightclubs. So you had like about 4 or 5 black nightclubs in the city, where they would have competitions for local talent to open up for the big acts. Because you didn't really have, there was no comedy scene, you know that.
Right.
So I'm talking like, bruh, 98, 99. 2000. Mm-hmm. There was no comedy scene in New Orleans at all. So you couldn't just go to some comedy club and say, okay, let's get a comedian to open up for whoever. They're like, let's have a competition. And they would run it at like four or five clubs. Then you would have the finals. And whoever won, boom. So when you got it at your club, like my club, I had no, they didn't provide you with a host. Bud Light gave you $1,000 and say, here, this is for the radio station. This will buy a commercial, do the live remote, promote shit and our product. We make the flyers for you and promote it, whatever.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'd have the competition. So, you know, I'm a natural fucking entertainer. I'm an actor already. So I grabbed the mic. I fucking host a comedy show. I didn't even know I was being an MC of a comedy show. I didn't even think about it that way. I just thought, like, this is my club.
Right.
Nobody else gonna host this bitch. Fuck it. Give me the mic.
Do my shit. Yeah.
I just naturally grabbed the mic. Motherfucker gave me third place. I said, bitch, I wouldn't even try to tell jokes. I'm just ribbing the motherfuckers who bomb.
Yeah.
Like, I was just ribbing the piss out of people who bomb, man. And, like, they was, I said, look, I can't win. I don't. And I didn't even want to. I'm like, I didn't even want to do comedy like talking about. Dude won, and my spot went on to open up that year. For Kid Capri was in that bitch. Like, it was the real deal, right? This boy went on stage. His name was Bayou Slim. I don't even know if he's doing comedy right now. Bro, this boy bombed so hard. He like a damn headlight, bro. When he walked down, he saw them 1,500 seats. That motherfucker went, long story short, got another club that would have comedy night on Wednesday. So I was closed on Wednesday. So I take my staff. I said, let's go. If they had a restaurant and shit, I'd buy food, buy drinks and shit, just bring them out on Wednesdays and we'd hang out. So something happened. Because the headliner was coming with the feature. They were coming together. They were riding. You know how that shit rolled.
Yeah.
Something happened. Motherfucker went to jail or whatever. Couldn't make it. So the owner rolled up and said, look, comedians can't make it. We're going to have a comedy competition.
Oh, shit.
So they're like, go ahead, boy. Go ahead, man. Sorry. So it was like me, five other regular motherfuckers. Yeah. Right? So I run up in that bitch and I won. $100 bar tab. I said, well, fuck, give it to my employees, right?
Yeah.
Boota, boota, boom. Next thing you know, Katrina here, club gone.
Ooh.
So I'm like, all right, cool. I lay up there, go to Houston. Rita coming. Fuck that. Hopped on Pan Am because they were giving free one-way flights anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
Flew my ass to L.A. I said, I'm going to L.A. Fuck it. I might as well still buy another job out there since my nightclub destroyed.
Right.
My house is, I got no, basically fucking homeless. Let me go to L.A. Went to L.A. Red Cross put me in the fucking hotel in the valley. My boy had worked on a movie down here with Fantasia. They just did that movie down here.
A Fantasia movie?
Fantasia did a movie about, like, I forget what it was called, For One Night, I think.
The one where it was talking about her. It was like a fucking, it was her, her
life story.
Yeah. When she got fucked in the truck.
Right. So they filmed that shit down here. Right? So my boy, actually I was staying by his mama house in Houston. He was a PA or something. He worked in production on a set. So he knew the producer. So the producer had a big ass house in Encino, right?
Yeah.
Tennis court, basketball
that's
court.
Right around, that's right around
there. Fuck out, right? So his wife.
That's where they do porn at. Also.
Yeah.
I learned that because I stayed in the valley.
Yeah, Sherman Oaks.
I stayed in San Fernando, Van Nuys.
All right, Van Nuys. Well, yeah, they do. So, man, I was like, well, fuck it, dog. So I laid up there, and the Red Cross was like, yeah, we're going to get your hotel, but it's going to be a few days.
Yeah.
So he was like, hey, man, I'm staying by my boy Kyle's house. All right, cool. So I didn't know who Kyle was because I ain't work on the film. I just knew him for him. He said, man, Kyle had a guest house, bro, that was nicer than the fucking suites at the Ritz.
Mm.
You know, Encino, fuck. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, so we stayed out there for 2 days. His wife produced and directed this little show called Half and Half.
Oh.
That was on UPN.
Yeah.
Right. So I met her, and she used to write for Different World.
She
met Bowser.
Okay.
Beautiful people, man. Beautiful people. Kyle, I still talk to Kyle to this day. Matter of fact, last time I was in L.A., which was last year, last December, me and him talked, you know, touch base and shit, but he's doing good. And because he's from Philly, he would always talk about, yeah, these motherfuckers from L.A. Anyway, so it was like, me and him was like real people. So he had a big hand at the time. So just so happened that week that I happened to be staying at, he had the premiere for season 2.
Mm.
So all Black Hollywood in that bitch, bro. They had like a pajama party. in the yard, fucking fake beds and shit all around that bitch. It was sweet, right?
Yeah.
So they showed the shit like on the big screen, like the big, you know, premiere. Somewhere I said, so everybody in that bitch, MC Light in that bitch, bruh. Fucking Essence Atkins was on the show, she in there. I had a fucking pillow fight with Urkel. I beat that motherfucker up with a pillow.
Jaleel White?
From Jaleel White, bust the piss out of it. Because they had pillow, and they're like, okay, it's time to pillow fight. Because everybody had on time. They had these custom made pajamas for everybody, yeah. Right? I still got the motherfuckers, yo.
Come on.
I still got them in 15 years. I can't fit them, but I got them. Right? Bro, so we in the yard clowning this shit, so I'm telling everybody. So he like, man, we're going to have a talent show. So we go to the house. This motherfucker got like a whole theater in his house, bro.
Wow.
Like a whole fucking theater. He got a stage. So they had the little dude that was also, what's his name? What's that boy's name, man? He's a comedian. He was fucking good then. I know he's still in the game now. I can't remember his fucking name, bro. I want to say Beast Mode, Wild Thing, some shit like that, bro. What's this cat name? But this dude funny as a motherfucker, man. It's gonna come to me soon. I'll tell you later when I remember. So he hosted the show. Laid up there and had that boy Ace that was on American Idol at the time. So he was dating Essence. He went up there saying Michael Jackson butterflies and shit. He saying the same shit on the fucking show. I remember watching. So they had people going up doing singing or whatever. I said, yeah. Kyle, listen, man, he got kids here. I said, I could do 5 minutes of comedy. I said, but my shit, you know, is blue. You got to send them kids out. He said, all right, we'll do it towards the end of the show. We'll put you on. Bruh, now peep this. This is like September. This is like 2 weeks after Katrina.
Yeah.
2005. I wasn't a comedian. I wasn't a writer. But I used to write jokes. Like, I always said, man, I want to do this shit. I want to do comedy, man. Like, towards the end, because this was like 2005, so say 98, 99 is when we was doing this shit with the club. So I got to the point, I said, I want to do comedy, but I respected it so much as an art form, I didn't want to fuck up.
Right.
I didn't want to go up there and embarrass myself, embarrass the art. Right?
Right.
So I said, I'm going to wait until I can be proficient to even start. Yeah. I don't want to just go out here and be a fucking dummy, look stupid. So he said, all right, man. So he put the kids out of the room and shit. So they brought me up. So it's all Black Hollywood in that bitch. But when I say Black Hollywood, bro, I mean, it was like the fucking BET Awards in that bitch.
Yeah.
So I recognize the fucking room. So I'm an actor. So I'm like, motherfucker, I just did Monster Ball with Halle Berry. I had a CBS movie of the week. I had a fucking supporting role in that bitch. Like, I worked for 3 weeks on that motherfucker. I had just did a fucking Lifetime movie, bro.
Yeah.
Supporting role, worked 4 weeks on that motherfucker. Like, I was getting good shit. So I'm like, I ain't no one line, two line, work one day, motherfucker.
Right.
I'm in Hollywood. I'm gonna make this shit work. I got on the stage, I walked out. I grabbed a mic and I just stood there. The room was quiet. Put my head down, looked at the ground. I said, how y'all doing? My name Tony. I'm a Katrina refugee. Not evacuee. Refugee. Kyle and Yvette been nice enough to let me stay in their little guest house. I just want to say I lost everything in Katrina. I lost my house, my car, my clothes, my job, money, jewelry, everything. Not Katrina, the hurricane, Katrina, my ex-wife. That bitch took everything. Yo, fuck that bitch. Man, I can't stand that. Say, bro, the fucking room, bro. You can hear a mouse piss on cotton. I thought them bitches about to start pulling out checkbooks like a telethon and start be like, pull my... Say, bro, I never picked my eyes up from the floor the whole time.
Right.
So I was just, you know, shuffling my weight from foot to foot. Uh-huh. Just like... And the people were just like, oh, man. Because you got to remember, this is, we watching Katrina on TV.
Yeah.
You watching people walk through that fucking water.
Right.
If you was evacuated, you left before the storm.
Yeah.
If you was a refugee, you was in that fucking
water.
So I said I was a refugee. Bruh, them motherfuckers looking at me like, oh, man, this poor dude, man. This motherfucker's like really living in a guest house. Like, man, y'all great, man. Y'all really took one in. I said, bruh.
Misdirection.
Bruh, I hit the motherfucker with that T-bone. And it was like, you dirty motherfucker. We're about to start giving you checks in this bitch. You fucked it up. Say, brother, now after that, I had a good solid 4 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I said after that, but I just went, oh. Once I got that room that blew up, that shit fed my ego, yeah. Bro. That shit was like, remember when Thanos put that motherfucking stone, that last stone that in that bitch, that mind stone? I was like, oh! Bro, I knew right then, I said, this is for me.
Yeah.
This is for
me. That's all it takes. That's all it takes, that one time. Bro.
And I was, listen, this was 2005. I didn't start performing comedy until 2008.
Cool.
I wrote for 3 more years.
Yeah.
Before I stepped on stage.
Come on.
And when I stepped on stage, it was at Carrollton Station. There's only 2 mics in town.
That's the start with fucking Mickey and Scotland Green.
Scotland and Mickey. Yeah. So it was that room, and then it was La Nuit.
Yeah.
So you would get 5 minutes at La Nuit.
Jackie was doing La Nuit, or was that
Jackie was doing it? I met Mark Caesar there.
Yeah.
So Mark was already doing it.
Right.
That was Mark's neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah. Mark
grew
up in the neighborhood. So it was like Mark, Jackie. Yeah. Jackie was there. Nature Boy, Red Bean, Carrie, you know, everybody that was already in the game when I came in again. So I would get 8 minutes a week. And I was like, this ain't enough.
Yeah.
That's when I started my own shit.
Yeah.
And I was hosting that. So I was getting about 30, 40 minutes a week. Because, bro, if you have 20 comedians and you do 2 minutes in between each comedian, that's 40 minutes a week. You working on them reps constantly. And there's no school to go to teach you how to be an MC. You either have it or you fucking don't.
Right.
You either know how to bring the crowd back, or if the motherfucker hot, you know how to hand that bitch off. Don't stall a show because you got a big ego and you want to just work on your material.
Right,
let somebody else host and do a set.
Yes.
You know, fuck it up, man. But you know how many rooms that, oh my God, there's so many rooms that fuck it up, do it wrong. But
I can't stand it.
Yeah, it just fucks it up. They ruin the whole show. But you know, man, it's like, that was my start right there. And when I came, I had a good show that first night. They was like, man, who are you? Who are you? Where'd you come from? I said, what the fuck are you talking about, man? I'm from New Orleans. Because like, I'm 35 years old when I started comedy.
Yeah.
My first night, I'm 35. They're looking at me like, who is this motherfucker? So I was like, Scott, and I was like, who are you? I said, like, I'm an actor, man. I said, I'm not even a comedian, really. I said, I want to be. They were like, man, come back next week.
Yeah.
Please come back next week. I came back next week. Bam. Dog
it's
shit.
It's always the second time.
Dog
second
shit.
Second or third time around, man, that's when it fucking hits you.
You know why? I did the complete opposite of what I did the first week. Because you think when you do great, and you think you go, you think whatever you say is going to be.
Right. You got it.
So, you know, it was the Loyola crowd, Tulane crowd, college crowd. So I came in with the most sexist, offensive fucking jokes I had ever written. I don't even tell those jokes no more.
Yeah.
Bro, I was like, I did the joke about, is it me or do oysters look like little gray pussy? I mean, think about it. Sometimes they can be hard to get into. When you finally get them open, sometimes you gotta wipe the dirt off before you eat it. They salty, they slimy. They look like a little gray pussy. Right? And I'm fucking, bro, when you performing and you watch a chick, so like you that speaker looking at, and I'm that.
Yeah.
Right. The motherfucker looking at you and their knees facing you.
Right.
And by the time you finish your set, they knees a turn 90 degrees.
Like, I don't know.
You know, motherfucker done shifted their whole body, bro. They're looking at you over their shoulder. Like, then you know you done offended
you
everybody.
You done offended so many people. Bro. Yeah.
And it was just like,
ugh. Yeah.
And the dude was like, what happened?
Yeah.
And I felt like that frog from WB. Remember the frog?
Michigan
like,
J?
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Yeah. Hello, my ragtime. Yeah. Right? And that bitch brought him in front of the crowd. The bitch went, ribbit. He's like, bitch, we could have made it. Bruh. Them bitches wanted to, like, this motherfucker good. This boy, they had big intro. This guy here.
Oh,
I went up there, bro,
ups.
And sucked ass. And it was like, yo, what the fuck happened? I said, I tried some new shit. Don't worry about it. And they were like, what are you? I said, I'm an actor. And they were like, oh, you're an actor? I said, no, I'm a real actor. So what have I seen you in? And I was just like, an amateur thing. All right. Don't worry about it, man. Like, you know, this is my name. Google me. You'll find me. Whatever. So I didn't even think about it. I wasn't even trying to pull that card. I wasn't like, yo, man, I'm a fucking actor. I haven't been in this movie. I haven't worked with fucking Oscar winners. Yo, man, fuck that list, bitch. Put me up third where I want to go. You know?
Right.
I didn't even play that card. I played my position and walked in there like a regular guy and waited and all that shit. So I wasn't like with some ego. I respected as an art. And I went back the next week, and they were like, "Yo, man, you're really a fucking actor. We looked you up." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm an actor." Like, "Yo, no, but people say that all the time. They're not. They're like fucking extras." And I'm like, "Dude, what's the big deal?" But no, like, you've worked with, like, I'm like, listen, man, one thing got nothing to do with the other.
Right.
Here, I'm a comedian.
Right.
When I'm on set, I'm an actor.
Yeah.
When I'm not, I'm working managing some fucking hotel or some shit. That's what I do when I'm not doing whatever the fuck. And they're like, "Oh, man, just worry about the list, dude. Whenever you want to come in, just come in." And I'm like, "All right, man, whatever."
Now I got the boost up.
So, bro, I wouldn't show up there. I would love that spot, though, man. It was nice. So it just got me to working. So,
yeah.
Then I wouldn't show up for like a year.
Oh, jeez.
And then I'd pop in and they'd be like, "Hey, can you go like fifth?" I'm like, "Yeah, why? We need you to save the show." People bombing and shit.
Yeah.
Bro, because I just worked on my shit, man. It was like, it was hard, bro. It's not easy. You know that shit, man. People think they're funny and they stop writing.
Yeah. Yep.
They just rest. They're like, "I don't want to write no more."
Can't do that.
Yeah.
People think they can go ahead and fucking Jay-Z that shit and just get on stage. "I write when I'm on stage." You're not that good yet, though.
Right.
You're not that good yet. Like, people need to actually put in the time and the work and the repetitions. If you don't get your reps up, man, how you going to get stronger?
Yo, it's just like working out in the gym, man.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't do this shit constantly.
Yeah.
And if you don't get in front of different crowds.
Yeah.
People are afraid. Yes. They get comfortable.
Yeah.
They get in front of that crowd, they laugh at them. And they stay in front of that crowd.
They scared to not do well. And it's like, then you will have those times you're not going to do well, though.
Yo, go perform in front of those Republicans. Go to Mandeville. Huh. Go perform in the Bywater. Go perform in the Marin. Go to fucking Metairie. Go, you know, uptown. Go around college students, man. Go to the East.
Yeah.
Go perform for the hood. Like, motherfucker, you got to get in front. Everybody. You know how many people were scared to come to Bullets? Scared.
So many.
Bruh.
Still to this day, if you bring it up, they shiver in their pants.
There's so many white comedians I respect because they carried their ass in there.
Yeah.
And they knew it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
Like a fucking Apollo.
Fuck yeah.
Because everybody in that ball, it's like a neighborhood joint.
Right.
It's not a comedy club.
Old heads in there. Ain't giving a fuck.
Like, I'm in here creeping with this girl. I'm trying to get some pussy. I just come in here because I don't want to go home. Motherfucker just drinking a drink, just out. It's like surprise comedy show, man.
Boom.
I ain't here for no comedy show. See, you know, with knucklehead motherfuckers, like, they got 2.5 pints in them already.
Yeah.
I can do that. I'm funnier than that motherfucker. And that's who you're competing with. That's your audience.
Yes.
That's your
competing with that loud motherfucker that's going to be on the side of the bar that's going to constantly keep talking.
Right. So they're looking at you like, where that white boy come from? Where are you from, Gretna? Oh, man, fuck you. Bitch, make me laugh. You know?
Yeah.
They trembling. Oh, shit. Remember? This is the picture of this, bro. This is 7 Ward in 2009.
Oh.
This ain't the 7 Ward in 2019.
No.
All right? If you had white folks in the 7 Ward, they was either buying dope or they got lost.
Got lost.
All right? So in 2000.
That ain't going to be in that bar.
Right. This was after. So, yeah, it was after Katrina, but at the same time, it wasn't a lot of people because Treme had just came out.
Mm.
But it was just like just coming out. And I was in that. So when they would show up to the bar, and Kermit used to play over that. So Kermit had a scene with Wendell and them in the bar. So they would see the bar was like a character. Like, well, that's Bullets. So I could really come from California, travel to New Orleans, go to Bullets, and it looks exactly like it looks on Treme. While I watch this episode.
I've never watched Treme.
Watch it. Please watch it so I can get my 3 cent residual check from HBO. I get 3 cents
every episode
that I was in when you watch it, and they tax it, so I get like a cent and a half.
I'm so fitty in the half.
They're gonna chop it in half. Yeah, they're gonna round it up for them. I got a penny. I've got zero checks too. I get residual checks.
Why didn't even do it?
They show it like, let me tell you. Now it's all direct deposit. It used to be actual physical checks.
Yeah,
you would open a check. And it wouldn't even say, it would just say, advise.
Oh.
Like, we're letting you know, we took all your shit.
You get a zero check. You had something at one point, but we got the rest of it.
You get a zero check. You get the paper that would mail it. They would spend 42 cents to mail you a zero check.
Man.
Bro, I would be looking at that shit like, yo. Say, bro, I saved like.
Cost more than
I had 3 cent checks, 7 cent checks, and all this shit, right? And I saved them. I had like about 57 cents worth of checks. And I go to the store. I go to like CVS or Rite Aid when Rite Aid was over. dude be outside big and say, hey, bro, you got 50 cents? I said, bro, I'm glad you asked. I signed over all those checks to that motherfucker. I said, hey, bro. He said, man, what you giving me? I said, bro, it's a bunch. I'm signing over a check to you. Mm-hmm. I ain't got no checking account. I said, look, bro, the cash check place right there on Legion Fields in Gentilly. Bro, walk from this parking lot to that parking lot and go cash the check. They're going to take 30%.
Yeah.
Right? So you're going to get a 25-cent check. I bet you're going to leave out there with something more than what you went in with. Well, less than what you went in technically.
Besides the goddamn paper.
Bro, I would sign over a fucking residual check to a motherfucker begging me. I'd be like, bitch, I ain't got no money, but I got this residual check.
These residuals. Oh, man.
But yeah, so, bro, it's a premiere on HBO, man. So the spot was, like, featured. And people were like, busloads of motherfuckers would just show up.
The Bullets.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is the place that was on. And the scene, and Kermit was playing.
Yeah.
So Kermit would play on Tuesday. Tremaine would come on Sunday. Motherfucker would watch Tremaine on Sunday.
And then go to Bullets
on Tuesday. Bullets on Tuesday and see the same shit they saw. There was no other show in America where you could live in real time like that.
Holy
Where you would
shit.
See something on television.
I need to watch
Show
it
the fuck up and it'd be happening. And you like, I feel like I'm in the episode.
That's what so people was like, New Orleans,
bro, people love New Orleans. Because New Orleans itself, like, you know, stand-up comedy is a living art.
Yeah.
You'll never see the same show twice.
No.
If you see a person, right, theater is a living art. You go watch 27 performances, you'll never see the same performance twice.
Mm-hmm.
It's always evolving. It's a living art. New Orleans itself is a living art. It's constantly evolving, constantly changing. It's constantly in this one place and nowhere at the same time.
Right.
So when you would watch a show on HBO, leave and go to fucking show up and be like, oh, yo, these same people, the same girl behind the ball. That go bullet right there sitting at the ball.
Yeah.
Then they would see me in there. And like, what's that cop doing here? Fuck that guy. He's the one who tried to beat up the police chief. He threw this motherfucker in jail. He arrested the son, the police chief's son, Rob. You know, Rob. Played the horn.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
because
I rolled up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I rolled up, arrested him, told Big Sam and your boy from Galactic, but y'all want to go too? So y'all the fucking jail too. That was an episode two. That was an episode two. So in episode one, I cursed out Melissa Leo, right, who just won an Oscar 3 months before we started filming. Because we filmed Tremaine. Tremaine didn't come out a year and a half until after we started filming, after we filmed it. So by the time it dropped, they start calling you up. Hey, you ready to come in? Like, for what? Oh, you're in another episode. I didn't know. You're available? Fucking right. I'll be there. And you just show the fuck up. Then they call you up like three episodes later. Hey, you available? We got a script for you to come pick up. Yeah, I'm there. Motherfucker's like, they didn't even tell me I was a recurring character. They just call you up and say, what's your availability? I'm available. I don't give a fuck what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm doing this.
Come on.
Come get your script.
Oh,
you just in another episode. Say, bro, you never knew how many episodes you were going to be in. You never knew nothing. All you knew was be ready for a phone call because you got. But this happened for 3 seasons. They just call you. Hey, what's going on? Hey, want you to come pick up your script?
Yeah,
I'll be there.
So cool.
So they didn't tell me none of this. So meanwhile, I'm in Bullets and I'm that asshole New Orleans cop. Typical, prototypical. Like, bro, I'd be the motherfucker who shot somebody. Like, the way cops is right now, my character was that dude.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, yo, you so fucking different from that character. I said, because I'm an actor. They say, but everything else is just. I said, yes, listen. When you watch Tremaine, most of the shit is real.
Yeah.
The other shit is fake. Davis is not the real Davis. I knew the real Davis. That was my daughter's music teacher at our fucking elementary
Get
school.
Get the fuck out of here.
The real Davis, who's like 6'5". Steve's on like fucking 5'6". You know what I'm saying? So it was two different people. So you would see some of the same people, then you would see something different. And then people couldn't separate it in their head because they thought, TV's either all the way fake, right? Or it's all the way real.
Right.
But it wasn't no documentary. This was a show. So they thought, but when you watch it, when you're in real time in real life, and then you see characters from the show, not being the characters,
just being themselves,
and they're like, "Wait, you put his son?" I said, "Yeah." Well, how are you his son? And you the cop? I said, "I'm not a cop." But he bullied. I said, "He bullied."
Yeah.
I'm an actor. So when you saw Bullet down here with Wendell, who's an actor playing Antoine, with Kermit, who's not an actor, who's a musician,
who's an actual
playing himself,
right?
wait, I'm confused. I said, come on, have a drink. We talk about this shit. But people would be like, literally busloads would pull up. Oh, wow. Would jump out. So imagine all the people coming in that bitch now as a comedy night, and a cop is fucking hosting the show. He's like, wait, what's the cop doing on? I'm not a cop. So, but this shit was so kick, man.
Dude, that's all. Oh, that's too fucking amazing, son. I never put it all together like that, because I just... When you was hosting Bullet, when you started hosting Bullets again, I would show up. I'm like, "Woo, this bitch grimy," because you know that was the, but that was the places we looked for, the place that was gonna be different from Carrollton Station,
right, different from
Mountain Louis. Because once you came in there, then the front entrance where motherfuckers come was right there by the stage.
Yeah,
like so they would come across you,
right.
And you would have to deal with whatever is coming across because they probably coming from another bar or something like that, or they house, or they real fucked up. It didn't even matter. Like it's New Orleans,
bro. It was like street performing almost.
Yes,
it was like street performing indoors. Yeah, they really walk into the, they walk into the show. And didn't even realize it was what the fuck is going on.
Right.
I'm just trying to get. I'm just. Ooh, excuse me. Ooh, excuse someone me. Would be like, excuse me. Some would be like, "What's up?" I'm trying to grab a mic. Like, different personalities, man. And if you had to roll with it, bro, and that's comedy. Like, you never know what obstacles are gonna pop up. Like, whatever room, every room is different. Every night is different.
Yeah.
That ground right there prepared a lot of motherfuckers for what was to come later on at different places.
Yeah.
So yeah, being grimy was the best because. That cut the fucking men from the boys.
Yep.
You know, the women from the girls right there, man, because I watched a lot of people shine that you didn't think were going to shine.
No.
But they had heart, and they came through, and I was like, and they won that crowd. That crowd was like, look, man, you a funny motherfucker. They give you a prop. Like, you made them laugh? Come on, buy you a drink, man. I'm just fucking with you. You know, I'm just fucking with you. Bruh. That joint right there made a lot of people either say, man, fuck
I
this shit.
I don't want to do this, or like, this is me. This is where I want to be.
Definitely. It's, you know, because, bro, it's like the best con men, right? The best liars are like motherfuckers on the street hustling.
Mm-hmm.
Your best performers are street performers. But street performing is hard.
Very.
It's hard. You have to gain attention from a complete stranger who did not come to see you.
At all.
They're on their way somewhere else. They don't give a fuck. You like a fucking statue to them. You just... You know, you like a billboard. They don't give a fuck. You make a motherfucker stop what they're doing and pay attention to you.
Yeah,
you got something.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. When I used to sit, bro, I used to watch motherfuckers at the bar, and they'd be watching the screen. They'd be watching game or something beyond. And you watch, you start all your set, and they'd all be their backs would be to you, and they'd be facing the bar looking at the TVs. Halfway through your set, them motherfuckers done turned around.
I'm like, what this nigga
saying? They done stopped watching. Yeah. Something you said got their attention. Something you said resonated with that. This motherfucker speaking truth. Hold on, man.
Let me see what
I'm going through this right now. Hold on. And they'll turn around and fuck the game. Them bitches looking at you in the whole ball. Now you see everybody's faces alone upon you like, God, I got you. And then you, you shift.
Shift into that fucking fifth gear, boy, and just cruise on through.
Nah, I got y'all fucking
tunnel vision. I've been telling people about that.
There's not a better feeling than watching motherfuckers stop doing what they came to do.
Yeah.
And start paying attention to
you. Yeah.
Ballrooms, man. That's why so many New Orleans.
That's why whenever motherfuckers from down here blow up somewhere else, motherfucker like Punky Johnson.
Yeah.
Punky motherfucking Johnson. Son.
Punky performed over that?
Yeah.
Punky came in Bullets and that and tore that bitch up.
Nigga, wherever she goes, motherfuckers like, oh, you from New Orleans. Like when I went out to LA, like that was the first person that was the reason why I went out to LA to go live out in LA, because I was like, this is my dream chase right here. This is what I want to do. This is why I made this podcast. Yeah. Started out in L.A., the guideline of chasing the dream. Right. This is what we're doing, chasing the dream. And I went out to L.A. the first time. I stayed with Punky, and Punky was sick that entire week. But motherfuckers knew who I was and who I was friends with.
Because
once I got there, nigga, I'm loud and common. Nigga, I'm a nigga from New Orleans. I'm going to say some shit. And motherfuckers like, oh, you from New Orleans, ain't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You Punky friend, huh? I'm like, yeah, that's me. It's like, oh, man, she the next one. I'm like, I bet she is.
Yeah.
I bet she is. She's and then, cool, boom. Man. After that, nigga, you just see things just popping and blowing up. But that's L.A. scene, if you're not entrenched in the fucking... in with the motherfuckers, it's difficult to just get into that scene. And that's what I had to realize once I got there, because I was like, I also had to survive once I got out there. I had to get a job and everything.
Yeah.
So to be able to be in that scene, it wasn't going to cut it for me. Because, like, what she did, she worked at the bar. She worked at the comedy store.
Yeah.
What I did, I'm an electrician. I'm working outside. I got to drive into that motherfucker. So when I come there, people rarely see me. They're like, man, all right, you her friend, but who the fuck is you? You know? And I'm like, well, it's going to be hard to prove myself this way. And then everybody else is cutthroat. Then I'm going to take your shit, especially if you ain't using it. And just like, ah. I've had my stint with L.A., and it ruined my dream of what L.A. was supposed to be. To me, and I'm like, well, now that I understand that you don't necessarily have to leave from where you've been raised from to actually make it big, you can just bounce around. Mm-hmm. And so that's the next step for me now, is just to get established where I'm at again, or just work on me, and then bounce from there. You know, go wherever I need to from there, because nigga, it's always gonna keep going.
See, the great thing about that is, you can take those jokes that you've been doing for the past 8 years,
yeah,
that you've really polished,
yeah,
and perform them bitches in another city, and it's brand new to them.
Brand fucking
right?
new.
Yep. You done did it here at 30 open mics, and they're like, oh, he about to do that joke about the yada yada.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, but I've heard it
right.
6 times.
Right.
But as soon as you go out of town, first time, fresh is.
Fresh is.
And that bitch is polished.
That
bitch is
so clean.
That bitch is like the ball on Phantasm.
Yeah.
That bitch is
polished. You can see it's sharp.
And it's sharp. That bitch about to come get you. Boy,
yes,
that bitch. And you like, oh, I've been telling this joke so long. I've been waiting for some fresh is.
Oh, I can't lie. I know the punchline that's going to get y'all even the hardest. Yeah. I'm prepared. Yeah, I love. That's the thing that I love about it, because like when you go certain places and then you know that you got something, like that's certain things that people will even ask for. It's like I've been like, there's certain jokes that people come up and say, like, hey man, tell this joke. I love when you tell this joke. It's like, well, I'm not working on that no
more.
I'm not
a vending machine.
Hey, no, tell this joke. And it's like, all right, I guess I'll slip it in there, you know. And I never looked at it that way, to where people are gonna love something so much that they're gonna want to hear it again and again. But that's just like watching a movie that you like,
bro.
You know,
you get tired of telling that joke,
and you definitely do.
The good knee joke, good knee. Bruh, you know, it's a crude joke.
Yeah.
But it was a closer.
Yeah.
And I just got so tired of telling it that when I started, like, I got to the point, man, like, when I knew, okay, I'm about to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I start telling it, bruh, I had no enthusiasm at all. I was just like, okay, I'm just gonna get through this. Like, oh, I just don't want to do this joke no more, man. I'm so tired of it. But it was such a strong bit that I stopped doing it for like 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and I listened to it one time.
Yeah.
You know, I did my CD in 2012. And the only reason I recorded the CD is because somebody asked me, did I have any CDs after a show?
Yeah.
I did a show, and on another show, hey, man, you have any CDs I can buy? And I'm like, no, but I will, bitch. I'll be back next week.
Yeah.
So I recorded my shows, but I just never made. So what I did is I recorded them, and the quality was good enough to put a CD together. So I started pressing them. I had my computer. I started just making them, bitches. Went to the next show, and dude said, but let me tell you, this fucked me up, man. Comedians, we're gifts, man. We're angels. Let me tell you.
Yes.
Something. We provide a service to people, bro. We don't know what people are going through.
Nope. Right? Save some lives. You definitely save some
like,
lives.
Like, who makes a comedian laugh, though, when we're going through shit? Because, you know, we fucked up individuals, right?
Check on your strong friend.
Check on your strong friend. Please, we're going through shit, especially right now.
Yes.
And I did a show, man, and after the show, I'm standing outside. I just bullshit and talk and drink. Dude come outside smoking a cigarette. He said, man, I asked you something. He said, yeah. He said, how long you been doing comedy? So at the time, it was like 7-8 years. That's about 7-8 years. And he was like, oh, okay, man. So I'm glad you had a good show tonight. I said, me too.
Yeah.
I said, why? Why? He said, tell the headline.
Yeah.
He said, I'm glad you had a good show. He said, you was talking in the show about how you was going to try all new material, but you decided whatever. Because they had some dudes in the audience that was from Covington.
Mm-hmm.
And I was born in Covington, and they had some dudes from Abita, and that's why I lived in Abita. So we was bullshitting about that. I said, man, I'm gonna do these jokes, but I'm gonna do these other jokes. Dude told me, he said, man, you did some jokes tonight, man. I really enjoyed it. He said, I had a good time, man. I said, I'm glad you had a good time. He said, man, I'm telling you that to say this. I thought about killing myself.
Yeah.
I said, hold on, bro. The conversation just went whoop. I said,
why? He would be so honest.
I said, but you fucking with me. He said, no, but really, like, before I came out tonight, man, I was at home. And I thought about killing myself. And I said, no, man, don't kill yourself. Just try to do something, have a good time. He said, so I looked in the thing, and I said, it was a comedy show. I said, let me try and go to a comedy show. Maybe I'll have a laugh and feel better.
Mm.
And don't feel like killing myself. And the dude was like, yeah, I feel better now. And it was because of your show, your set, you made me feel good. I ain't never left. He said, bro, I've never, he told me, and I ain't saying that to say, he said, bro, I've never seen anyone else as funny as you in person. I said, so you don't get out much. So he was like, he said, oh, bro, you funny. So I'm glad I ain't do all my new shit.
Right.
Right? I'm so glad I ain't bombing tonight. I'm glad I ain't have a bad show. That's a lot of pressure you put on a motherfucker.
Right.
Right? I ain't planning on having that much pressure. So now every time I go do new shit, I'm thinking, okay, anybody know that we're going to kill yourself before I do this new shit? You probably won't laugh at it. So I won't be on one looking at the paper tomorrow. And motherfucker, I didn't motherfucker at the show last night. So you walk out in the bitch, leave the show, walk out in the traffic. Like, damn, bitch, you killed.
It's so crazy because as a comic, you are going to get at least one or two people like that in life that's
going
to come
man?
Up and be like, yo, man, you really saved me. I was going through that. I've had that one time happen, and I was like, you're welcome, I guess. I'm not really sure what to tell you.
But that's heavy, man.
Yeah, fuck yeah. That's a lot. That's on my heart. I'm glad you didn't say it before I got on stage.
Right.
You know?
Right. I've been trying to be funny. It might have fucked up. You know, you're trying to be funny, you fuck up, not just being natural.
Right. Oh, it's a joy to be able to go ahead and save a life that way, not knowing just the unexpected life saving that you do to certain people, that because you ain't never prepared. You ain't never prepared. But you prepared for your set, and you prepared to do what you got to do. But you never know who's in that crowd. You
maybe
never know
who's
fuck sitting there.
You ever thought about that?
The what?
Maybe we fucked up. Maybe that person was a real asshole. Maybe that person was a horrible person. Maybe that person raped children or something. And it was time for them to go. Maybe it was their time to go, and we fucked that up.
Yeah.
Like Final Destination, but in reverse.
Nah.
Like, we fucked it up. Like, damn, baby, we almost got rid of that motherfucker. You had to make that bitch laugh, and that bitch stood around raping children.
That is a way to think.
Like, what
about
if you
it.
Found out? That's it, bro. Hold on. Erase this. You're going to write a movie about this shit. You know, I'm worried about this shit, son. Like, I just said this bitch. Like, imagine Hitler was in the crowd. He said, bitch, I'm going to kill myself. But now, you motivated me to fulfill my life's purpose. And that bitch went out, bro.
Yeah, and fucking took
and
over
killed 7 million Jews. And you sitting there like, oh, yo, man. What the fuck did I do? I could have bombed that night. Damn, man. Horrible.
Oh man, that's goddamn hilarious. That's the things we like to think about. Oh, good shit. That's the shit we like to think about. That's what makes a comic right there. To be able to take the fucking good and to be able to take something so pure like that and just twist it on his fucking asshole and be like, oh, wait.
There's another side. Yeah. The dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
You're only looking at the bright side.
Yeah.
What about the dark side?
What about that other side?
Full moon. Look at that shit.
I know.
But on the other side of that motherfucker.
What's going on?
It's dark.
It's Riddick. It's Riddick on the other side.
Like what I just said.
It's fucking.
So you gotta look at
it. Flesh eating monsters on the other side that you ain't ready for. You better put on them goggles, goddamn it.
There's child support on the other side. Man, if you don't look at it from every angle, you're missing it. But there's so much good shit that people just... Let me tell you something. You know what separates us from like Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock? We stop writing once we think the joke's funny.
Ah, see, I never know when to stop. I never know when to end a joke. I never know when a joke is supposed to be done because I'm just like, well, there's more that can be added to it, and it seems like there's more that should be in this joke, but I'm not really sure where it should end. Like, what tells you that a joke should be over?
It's the cleverness to it. It's the funniest part. This is what I watch. When I watch them, I'm like, okay, yo, that was dope. And I was thinking, I'd do that same thing. But what separates them from being the fucking ultra great from people who are just really good is that once they get to that punchline, they continue to write and they turn it on its axis. Mm-hmm. It becomes real, real, real clever. And I'm like, yo, that's the fucking difference. They don't stop once they get the laugh. We be thinking, oh, this motherfucker laughed at my setup. And be like, okay, that's funny. By the time you get to the punchline, you get the big laugh.
Right.
You move on to the next bit. They don't. Think about this. And I watch this shit, bro. And I watch Cat Williams. Cat Williams is dope. Cat Williams, the way he delivers and everything.
Yeah.
he'll only have six topics he talked about his whole special.
Right.
He'll do an hour, but he's only talked about six things.
Yeah.
So he only has six premises.
I love to break it down.
That's
like
it.
That. Yeah.
But he's take them and he stretches them out for like an hour 15.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you think about the setup, you think about delivery, you think about everything. And I say, okay, so think about the jokes per minute. Every 15 seconds, did you get a laugh? Every 30 seconds, did you get a laugh? Because then you average that out. If you're getting 4 to 5 laughs per minute,
it's comedy mathematics
you
right there.
You kill it. Boom, 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 pow, boom, 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 boom. It's like you play, it's like
yeah,
music,
like you're playing the drums.
Boom, boom,
yeah,
boom,
yeah.
Boom, boom. You
that
got
rhythm.
These motherfuckers laugh.
That goddamn
right.
rhythm.
Did you slow it down enough for them to catch their breath?
Right.
Because now they can't comprehend. If you hit them too hard.
Don't walk over your laugh. Don't walk over the punchline.
Watch Cat Williams' first performance on Def Comedy Jam. It was the coldest 7 minutes I ever seen by any comedian.
Mm.
It's only 7 minutes, but it felt like it was a half hour.
Yeah.
It's non-fucking-stop. It's full speed ahead. He busted through the fucking wall doing 200 and did not stop for
right.
7 minutes. And when you watch, he's like, what the fuck just happened?
Right.
But can you do that for an hour?
Right.
It's hard.
It's very difficult.
It's okay.
Because there's lulls. There's lulls
yeah.
in it. And
so, you write 6 10-minute bits. Then you put them all together.
Mm.
And you have your segues. That's it. That's your special.
That's 60 minutes right there.
Oh, I got to write an hour. That's hard. Okay, do you have a good 10? Yeah. You have 6 of them?
That's it. If you look at it that way, it makes it real simple.
Bruh, and when you watch these people, okay, this dude did 15 minutes on one subject. But he had a tagline. He had a callback. Kevin Hart is the best at that shit. It's so well written. All of his shit is so, but he has writers. And
right.
it's all his dudes.
Right.
And it's the best fucking comedy plan I've ever fucking seen. Not in the past 20 years. I mean, fucking ever. It was like, okay, I'm already established. He's Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart was
yeah.
doing comedy 15 years before he even fucking made it.
Yeah, he stuck to the syllabus.
Right. So
you
can
tell.
I got 5 guys who are
right.
really funny. No one knows who the fuck they are. Okay, here's the thing. Y'all gonna write.
Y'all know me.
Y'all best material, I'm gonna take and use.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all gonna be on tour. You're gonna open for me. I'm in the back listening. I'm hearing the crowd laugh at that. Okay, that's my joke now. But I'm gonna rise to fucking stardom like a phoenix. I'm gonna out of
paper cut boys. Come along with me.
Right, y'all coming with me? Now, y'all gonna make me get that, and I'm gonna make y'all get that. We gonna work as a fucking unit. But them motherfuckers were like, remember Heavy Barrel, that video game where you put all the pieces together for the big gun?
Oh.
All right. Let's just say, remember Voltron?
Yeah.
Remember the Constructicons?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you had all the pieces coming together and made
yeah.
the big motherfucker?
Yeah.
Bro, it was like that. You had 5 motherfuckers plus him, and it was like he brought all them dudes along. And so you're doing all of these shows. You do 300 fucking shows a year. By the time you do your special, that bitch is polished like a motherfucker.
Right.
If you're traveling, bro, if you got 365 days a year, and you've done 300 shows that year of the material you're doing, by the time you film your special, that shit is so polished. And you've taken all of the best jokes out of everything you've seen that whole fucking trip that year. And you put it together in one special. It's going to be fucking dope. And it's written perfectly. You can play fucking music to the jokes. It's written perfectly. And it's polished because you look at here, tagline, tagline, tagline.
Yeah.
Callback, callback, callback.
Yeah.
It's like boom, 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 bop, boom, boom, boom. I'm like, yo, that motherfucker
needs 3
callbacks. It's like written so fucking perfectly.
Yeah.
It's the blueprint.
Yes, exactly.
Who the fuck's not doing this now? Why isn't anyone else learning from this shit and doing it? Bro, it's perfect. Every time I write a joke, every time I do a set, if I'm going to do an hour, I got 2 callbacks.
Mm.
I make sure. It's a free laugh.
Right.
You've already made them laugh.
Right.
It works. Why not
bring
that shit
Why
up again?
Why not bring it back?
Bro, it's so brilliant. It's like, fuck, it's a free fucking laugh. It's like a bonus laugh. Like, you don't even have to fucking think about it.
Yes.
It's tied into something else.
I got something like that I've never put out yet, and I wanted to make it a special just because every bit that I talk about ends to a big story that I make up,
yeah.
And every part of that story at the end is a callback to what I said in the beginning.
Yo.
And it smashes,
yeah.
son. And I'm
yeah.
like, this is it. But I've never put it down to record or anything. My brain goes so fast, like you were saying in the beginning. My brain works so fast. It's like, all right, I'm on to the next one now. It's on to the next one. But I still have it there, just in case I want to go back to it. You know, so it's just something that I constantly work towards, and as soon as I get that moment or I get that platform, that's when it's all about to get unloaded like I'm vomiting. It's just like the blood. This is what I got, and this is what y'all about to get. And there's different variations of everything that I do.
The crowd loves that shit because it makes them feel like they discovered something.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I get that. I know what he's talking about.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they feel like they're in on it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is a part of it. I already know this. We know this, right? He just said this earlier.
Right.
We'll do it again. Right, it's beautiful, man, and it's like if it's done correctly, it's a thing of fucking beauty, bro. And I just wonder why more people don't do it. You know, you see it a lot in the old days,
yeah,
like the old comedy, the way people would perform. They always had a callback.
It's the thing that brings everything together. That's when you know it's coming to a close, because they open with something big, like the Dave Chappelle, the equanimity,
yeah.
That last one where he had, he was like, hey. I'm going to give y'all the fucking call. I'm going to give y'all the goddamn call back.
He reversed.
I'm
going to
tell you what it's going to be. And I was like, nigga, that was the last time I did the Sober October. Like, it was rolling into the new year, and that's when he brought that one out, son. I was like, this motherfucker's a genius. I smoked the blunt, and I ain't smoked all month. I ain't smoked all blunt, so I was extra high. So everything that he was saying, everything that was coming out, I was like,
it was starting to make
sense. Oh, it all
made
sense.
It was like looking
at
the board. It was like Usual Suspects, and you're looking at the fucking board.
Yeah.
And it was like Kobayashi. Wait a minute, Redfoot. Wait a minute. Fuck! I get it now.
Yes.
Because what he said was just like, wait, what?
Right.
Wait, hold on. Wait a minute.
How is this gonna work? How is this gonna end up? I don't see how you're gonna make this work out.
And then when he came back to it, it was like, it makes sense.
And it blew my mind. And I was like. There it is. That's the key to it, right there. That's the motherfucking answer, right there. If you can't come up with something like that, or if you can't like duplicate that right there, like you don't have. You need to keep working, because nigga, that shit right there blew my fucking mind. That's how I like to think about my writing now, and especially when I get into it, I'm like, all right, now how can I tie this into this? How can I make this similar to something like this so it all just segues? And I'm like, all right, like, just make it fit. Just make it fit, you know?
You know what's more fun than that? Using a callback you made up that night from somebody in the audience.
Ooh.
Let's say one person, right, did something, or you did a joke. Like, you're the type of person who always asks audience questions. I don't ask the audience questions, but, like, people do, and it's their couple or whatever.
Right.
And you can create a callback off of them. Just by their answer, because there's always going to be some goofball in the audience that's going to say some shit and give you some material.
Yeah,
they do. They just do dumb shit, and you're like, okay, good. And so you make a joke about it because that's who you are. And then later on, it's gonna hit you. You don't even say, bro, these are things like you can't even plan, because if you just trust in your ability and who the fuck you are, it'll come up. But man, well, you can use that. I've used that before, but that shit has been brilliant.
It's one of those things that, like, you think it's going to be difficult until it pops up. Because there's a whole bunch of shit that I wrote that I don't know where the fuck it came from. It just popped up.
Yeah,
it just, boom, here you go. And it's like, who the fuck gave me this? I don't know, but this is the closer. This is what it is.
You take a premise, and you're rolling with it, right? And it's a joke you've been doing a million times.
Yeah.
And as you're doing it, your brain's turning, and then you go off on a tangent.
Right.
And I just made up a whole, whoa, I just... fucking added another 3 minutes to that joke and fucking murdered it. Was I recording?
Fuck.
Am I gonna remember what I said?
Yeah, you gonna remember?
No, I've been drinking, and I'm gonna be drinking after the show. Oh, whatever the fuck else you're doing.
I hate that.
Am I gonna remember that tomorrow? And you start asking people, yo, what I said last night. After when I was talking about, and they're like, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
It was funny. What I said, I don't remember, man. Bro, that's why I just put my phone, I record the shit.
All the time.
Just so I can listen to it again.
Yeah.
To see. I had a brilliant moment. Yeah, I didn't know I was going to have.
Right.
When you're having fun, bro, and you relax.
Yeah.
And the crowd's a good crowd. You're just doing your thing, you know, you're in that fucking moment. You do. That's the difference between writing while you're performing on stage.
Yeah.
And relying on it to be funny.
Right.
So you're not relying on it to be funny.
No.
It happens. It don't happen all the time.
Nope.
But when it does happen, it's so organic.
Yeah.
That it doesn't even sound like you're telling a joke. You're just fucking talking.
Mm-hmm.
You're just being.
Right.
It took me 8 years to be able to do that. I used to always watch people perform, man. You know, it was Aldo. You remember Aldo?
No.
You came in late. Aldo was a cat. Aldo died, man. Aldo had cancer. Aldo was in the game before I started. He came out with Caribbean Red Band and shit. Aldo had been doing comics like 95. He was in a little shit with Ken Jeong, with Brown. The improv troupe. Yeah, Brown. That's where Ken got started.
I work with an electrician that told me to ask Red Bean about that.
Ken was in his resident. He was a resident. He was at Tulane. He was a doctor. Real doctor. He's a real fucking doctor.
Yeah.
So he was at Tulane. You know, Red Bean went playing football for Tulane and shit. So they were doing a little Brown improv thing. And Aldo was doing it. And Aldo left the game. So when I came out, I knew who the fuck Aldo was. Aldo came back in years later. I was winning all these comedy competitions in Metairie, bro. Like, I got tired of that shit. Every fucking year, I just win. Aldo came back in the game. And I seen him, and I'm like, oh, this dude's funny. He would get, said, bro, we'd be at the ball right now. I'd have a fucking shit typed out. I'd have my shit, I'd have columns and shit. Like, I've been doing this shit on Word.
I had your little papers.
So the way I memorize shit, I have a photograph, man. So I just look at it, and I'd be on stage, and in my head, I can see the middle of the page, that joke, this page, I can see it in my head. So I would just do the comedy like that. Aldo walk out there, grandma just start talking. And kill it. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
How you do
Everybody
that?
I got a different way.
How you just be funny without, he said, I don't even know what I'm going to say when I get up there. I just start talking. I'm like, bro, how you do that? And this dude had took years off and came back. Mm. And I'm like, yo, this motherfucker is a beast. And I admired him, bro. And he was a cool dude and shit. So it wasn't even like competition. It was just like, this motherfucker's cold. So it took me about 8 years to be able to grab that mic and just start talking. To not even sound like I was telling a joke.
Right.
To sound like I'm just telling a fucking story or whatever.
Yeah.
That's called finding your voice.
That's exactly what I was about to say. That's what I'm going to tell y'all.
You don't know when you're going to
find your voice at all. Right. It just comes.
It's like you're getting your period for the first time.
Yeah.
When a girl gets her period, it's just, you're just sitting there like, oh, fuck, what's happening?
Yeah.
When you're on stage, it's like an old fuck moment.
You're going through
puberty. Yeah, it's an old fuck moment. It's like you're on stage and you're just like, I'm not even telling jokes no more.
No.
You're just being.
I'm talking to somebody like I'm talking to my friends right now. Just normal.
What they call it, like when alcoholics say they had a moment of clarity. It's like, you become a comedian.
Yeah. Yes.
And then you just grab the mic and you just start talking, man. Like, and I see certain comedians, like Louis C.K. would talk about how he would, whatever his closer would be, he said, I'm going to start with my closer. Mm. Then somewhere in this material, I have to find a way to close the show.
Right.
I'm going to challenge myself. I'm going to open with my closer. I'm open with my best joke. And then from there, as I'm performing, I have to find a way to end this. How am I going to tie it up? And even challenge yourself. I'm like, that's fucking dangerous. You know
what it's very dangerous.
That's like, what the fuck?
You type open over the shark tank, my nigga.
And I have seen people close shows dry. Like, they don't drop the mic and walk off. Like, they're just all right. And I'm like, what the fuck? That was kind of boring.
Yeah.
Like, you always got to have a closer. You got to have that anchor, right?
It makes me like, did you even try?
Yeah, you got to have an anchor, man. And so when I would start doing that, so I knew what I wanted to do. So my paper got less. Mm. So instead of having all of these words and shit on my paper, I would just have five premises.
Yeah.
So I'd have five words. And I would just look at those. Okay, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I would just, I already knew in my head what I wanted to say. I just needed that key.
That's the process.
I just needed that one little, that little
that
fucking
key word. Yeah.
Key word to just put me on. Except I saw Jamie Kennedy did a show. He did like an hour and a half or some shit, man. And they showed point of view. So they had a camera on the stage. And they had a camera in the audience. Showing him. So when they had a camera behind him, he was fucking with this woman in the audience. Mm. So they was focusing on this woman. This woman was in the front row. So, bro, they had a big-ass computer monitor, like a flat-screen computer monitor.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy, just a flat-screen computer monitor. Yeah. Like you always have. And in big, like, 72 font, in white text on a black screen, they had Jesus. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? Said, bro, like 5 minutes later, he did something. He started talking about Jesus. I'm like, yo. But, see, this wasn't live. This was something that was recorded. So I rewound it. This motherfucker had his set list
Yep.
on a monitor.
Yep.
I can do 20 hours.
Yeah.
If you I give got me my sentence. Points,
yeah, fuck yeah. That's how I did my set.
Well, I can do 20 fucking hours, that's but I can break I the record if you give me my shit.
That's how I did my special, son. I had a goddamn, I had a little block, yeah. And I had a piece of paper that had my shit each, and I don't have it written out. I used to have it written out. When you first start, yeah, you got it written out verbatim.
Right,
but no,
right.
I just had that one little word, oh, this is next. Oh,
that's boom, all you need.
Eyebrows. Jesus. And that's it. Now I know what it, I know how to segue into it, and then, boom, that's when you know your fucking comedy has evolved.
Yep.
That's when you know you really found your voice and you got it.
You know musicians do that.
Yeah.
And the drummer, they'll put the set list down by their feet. Everybody got this shit, they'll look down.
I used to have the host before I let go, music
and it just boom, and you know you play right into it.
Yes. Oh man.
That's crazy.
God damn.
I was like, God damn, man, I see cheap, man. I could do a fucking hour. And this was back like before I was even doing an hour.
Yeah.
I was struggling filling that time. I couldn't remember all of my
no need,
and I was like, man, fuck, I could do an hour if I had a fucking prompt. Yeah, I knew they had it like prompts for time,
right?
Like I knew they had like, okay, you got 2 minutes left, start wrapping it up. I knew they had that, but like to show you a list, I'm like, man, but I mean, bro, you know,
and mostly you know how long them jokes are gonna be and all that, man. That's shit. That's life and that's comedy. God damn it. Thank you, dude.
Thank you, bro.
Man, this is, I don't know why. It never dawned on me. I was like, I need to talk to Tony. Tony is the guy that I need to fucking eat. You the one that's been. I didn't even know you haven't been doing it as long as I thought. Like, I thought you was just out here for the longest time.
But nah, bro.
Acting. Acting is what you.
Acting is my thing.
Yeah.
My first few years, I liked doing comedy. I didn't get good until like year four.
Yeah.
Then it was like, somebody told me, they were like, I did a show and they were like, yeah, when did Tony Freddie become hilarious? Like, what the fuck did that? Well, after I started running my own mic.
Yeah.
And I was getting those reps.
Getting the chops.
I was getting more reps than everybody. So I kind of hit the express lane. You got to work on them bits, and then it was like, oh shit, this dude's funny. And it was like, okay, I'm glad people held me in high regard.
Right.
And I don't think I'm, you know, I'm modest with the comedy, bro. Mm-hmm. The comedy's like, you get a big head, bitch, you can fall off quick.
Yes.
You know, just be modest, man. Be humble.
Right.
Do your thing. Work. Keep working at it. Keep writing. Don't stop fucking writing. You know, be nice to people, man. It's, you know, it's good. Like, no, look, treat the assholes as such.
Yeah.
But be nice to people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're a fucking prick, bitch. I'm going to treat you like one. Huh?
All right. Before I get out, I used to like to ask people this. I still ask people this from time to time. You know about the Jokers, right? Any like Batman, Joker?
Yeah,
Yeah. This is Tell Me a Joke, so we don't normally tell jokes. Nobody ever tells jokes. But what type of Joker would you say best embodies you? Which Joker would you say you personify?
I'm Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger?
Yeah. You know why?
Why?
Because he was like, it's not even about the money.
It's not about the money.
Burn the fucking money. Yeah. It's not about it. I don't do comedy for money.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If I did, I'd be homeless.
You rely on comedy
for money.
Mm-mm.
Nah, man, Heath Ledger, because he burnt that fucking money. He's like, fuck.
I'm not worried about this money. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely, bro. Like, you know what? It's funny because I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking, who was the best Joker? And because I just read that the Jared Leto Joker is being written into the new Zack Snyder's
Suicide Squad?
No. The thing he's doing.
The new Batman.
Right. So he's writing in it. He's
right now.
Yeah,
right,
he's
man.
Putting him in. Yeah, why?
Why?
I don't know. Man. He shouldn't. Yeah, don't do that.
Nobody likes the Jared Leto Joker.
Yeah, leave that alone. Like,
yeah.
I'm glad he's redoing it.
Yeah.
But don't.
I didn't really care.
And I was like, no, but see, he's Legend's Joker. I'd be like,
Yeah.
But anyway, long story short, that's my answer. Nice. That's my answer, man.
Fuck yeah.
It's not even about the money.
Bro. Well, everybody, this has been Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing the dream. I have been your host, the maniacal man, Kyle Smith, and this has been the great Tony fucking Frederick.
Ain't that something? Great. Good, man. Thank you, bro.
You're welcome, man. Thank you, dude. Shit, yeah.